And we're going to pick up our Bibles again and read from Philippians and chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And then the Apostle Paul, as he writes, has some personal notes. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I asked you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to pause there. Now, in the last few months, I've been thinking about this theme, living deep with God. What does it mean to have a relationship with God, to be a Christian, and yet to be able to say, I'm not a Christian by name only. It is something that is meaningful to me. I have a relationship with God that I don't quite understand, but I know I have a relationship with God. I know He loves me and cares for me. And yet, perhaps coming to a point of dissatisfaction with our spiritual lives and saying, I want to live more deeply with God. I want to have a life with God, a spiritual life that is relevant, that is passionate, that is deep, that's worth having. And that's what we've been reflecting on, living deep with God. And what we've done is we've traced our way through this letter, the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Philippi, and we've been just searching out the wealth of wisdom in it to help us in what it means to live deeply and not superficially with God. And today, specifically today, thinking about living together, and the challenge and the encouragement for today is this, that if we want to live deep with God, we need to learn how to live together. Does that strike you as an exciting thought? But that's really the bottom line here. If we want to live deep with God, it is not just about you and your relationship with God. It is not just that we can come as individuals and say, right, I am praying to God. I know God. I love God. I know He loves me. And that's all there is to it. It's very clear that if we are going to live deep with God and have a meaningful relationship with God, we need to learn something more of what it means to live together. So there is a strength of relationship. Yeah, that is, when I say live together, what I mean is all those who would consider themselves Christians, all those who are part of the believing community, to say we need to learn how to live together, and as we live together, so there is something, some means by which we go deeper with God. Because you know, if we ignore one another, if we say that our relationship with one another doesn't really count, doesn't mean really mean too much, then we will just live superficially with God. We need to learn to live deeply. Now, there are only four things I'm going to be saying today, you'll be pleased to know, and those are them. The first is about living together, rejoicing together, relating together, relaxing together, and I had to get in the last re, you see, I struggled with that one, resulting in a deep life together. But all of this is about life together. Learning how to live together is a key factor in learning how to live deep with God. And the first is rejoicing together. And in the passage that I read, we came across verse 4, which says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. And this is a command to the community. It is something that we are to do together. See, the Apostle Paul here is not speaking to an individual and saying to you as an individual, well, can you rejoice? In your life, as you go about your life Monday through to Sunday, and maybe you struggle with certain things, you're to learn to rejoice. No, he's actually addressing the whole church. And he's saying to them, you need to learn to rejoice together. And because it's so significant, he says it again. Rejoice. Live a life that is filled with joy, that overflows with joy, with love, with passion. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. And so it's in the midst of struggle and strife, we need to remember, okay, life might be really awful right now, but we remember you're loved by God, owned by God, we're saved by God, we belong to God. And this is about an attitude of our minds. How is it that we can rejoice always? It is only if we have our mind set on what is true, what is real, what is dependable. And that is simply this, that we are loved by God. So when things are tough, you know, earlier in this passage we have Paul pleading with these two women and saying, you know, can't you just get on together? Does that sound reminiscent? You know, maybe you say that in your family. Can't you guys just get on together? And you see, the Apostle Paul, he writes and says, I plead with them to agree with each other in the Lord. In other words, they are believers. They've served alongside Paul. You know, these are good women. But for some reason, they're falling out. They can't agree. They're arguing all the time. And in the midst of that argument, Paul is saying, now hang on, you see, you're struggling because you're focusing on the wrong things. You're focusing on whatever it is you disagree about. But if you remember that you are loved by God, you're owned by God, you're saved by God, you belong to God, if you have that attitude in your mind, then you can rise above it and say, yes, we do disagree. We may never agree on everything. But because we know that we are loved by God, owned by God, saved by God, we belong to God, we can rejoice and say, oh, come on. You know, the fact that we are loved by God, that is far greater significance than the things that we fall out about. And so it's within that context, even in that particular church of difficulty and struggle, it's within that context that the Apostle Paul says, look, you need to learn to live together. And the way you do that is by focusing on the things that are really important and significant to you as a human being. Set a right attitude of mind. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't get it the first time, I'll say it again. Rejoice. So that's the first thing. Learning how to rejoice together. And saying, okay, we'll have a blast, we'll argue, we'll fall out, but hang on, what's really important? It's our relationship with God together. And say, look, we can look at each other and go, do you understand? We're saved. We're loved by God. This is great. So that's the first thing. Now the second thing I put up is relating to all. And that was this verse. Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And I've said on the screen that this gentleness, it's about living well together. And I put up, this gentleness, it's about being patient. Do you know this word, forbearance? Do you know that word? I don't know if we use it very often. But it's bearing with one another. You know, when somebody's driving us round the bend, bear with them. You know, I remember when I was first had children, perhaps even before I had children, I remember somebody saying to me, look, when you have kids and they reach teenage years, just remember, they'll go mad. but it's only temporary. It won't last forever. And when they're kind of 21 or something, they'll turn around and say, Mom, Dad, you're okay, actually. Yeah? Well, that's a hope, anyway. You know? And, you know, with our young people, we have to bear with them. And that's sometimes so tough. And in the church, when people do things and they're, oh, man, oh, we have to bear with them. That's what this forbearance and kindness and thoughtfulness. And it's not just about us within the church, because it says, let your gentleness, this patience, this forbearance, this kindness, this thoughtfulness be evident to all. And the Apostle Paul doesn't mean let it be evident to all within the church. Of course, it's going to be evident to those in the church if it exists. But it's about how we treat people in the church, a message to everybody outside. So that they come into the church and they go, man, they look after each other. They care for each other. And they do fall out. They do disagree. But they're learning how to relate together. Because they rejoice together. They know what's important. And people outside think, yeah, I could belong to them. I'm not sure I believe everything just yet, but I'm prepared to give it a go and find out. So this rejoicing together and then relating together. Somebody's rejoicing right here, which is great. So rejoicing together, relating together. Next one I put up was this, relaxing together. And this is this verse. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. God, that's big. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, this is not a word just for individuals in the church. It's for the whole of the church. This is all about together. Learning how to rejoice together. Learning how to relate together. Learning how to, I've used this word, relax. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So the believing community can be marked by a clear lack of anxiety. Now, I confess, I did originally write here, the believing community is to be marked by a clear lack of anxiety. And I changed it. So. It can be. Is it to be? Is it to be? See, the thing is, I guess anxiety and worry are such a part of our life. I wonder sometimes whether we really believe it's possible to live without anxiety. Is it? So, you know, hence I change it, you know, and say, the believing community is to be marked by this lack of anxiety. And we go, oh, no, 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 that's impossible. Could never be true. But it can be. I wonder, do we believe that? You see, the young people earlier, they read to us. I'm going to read this passage again. Just note how many times it speaks about worrying and not worrying. Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying? It's exactly the same word that the Apostle Paul uses. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? How many of you were in a tiz this morning because you couldn't decide what to wear? How many? And do not worry about clothes. See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, gone tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. And I love this. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Isn't that great? That's what Jesus said. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, that's exactly what Paul is saying. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Jesus said, don't worry. Don't be anxious. It's going to be okay. Now, I guess if we learn to live together by rejoicing together, saying, what are the important things that we need to focus on? And then we learn to relate together. We bear with one another. We're gentle with one another. And that becomes evident to everybody outside. And then I suppose it follows that we can deal with our anxiety. You see what the Apostle Paul says? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Do you know, I think there is such profound power in thanksgiving. I really do. Thankfulness asks, what have we already been blessed with? The thankful person says, God has already been so good to me. The person without thankfulness says, but I need this. I'm lacking. I need this. The thankful heart says, what have I already been blessed with? And as soon as you get in touch with what I've already got, it changes our attitude to what we think we need. And thankfulness states, God will always give us what we need. So, anxiety, maybe we can't just click our fingers and anxiety and worry disappear. You know, tomorrow morning when you get up, are my shirts ironed? You know, are they washed? Have I got clean this? You know, all sorts of stuff will throw itself at us. And it does all the time. So I guess we cannot click our fingers and magically somehow it's going to go away. But what it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. So with thanksgiving, so we just turn up, when we know we're anxious, when we know we're worried, we just turn our hearts towards God. And we say, Father, thank you for what you've given me. Father, thank you. I appreciate my home. I appreciate my family. I appreciate my clothes. I appreciate my income. I appreciate the 3 or 4 TVs I've got in my home. I appreciate my DVD player. And I appreciate my gadgets. And I appreciate... Does that ring any bells? You know? When we're worrying, if we turn our heart to God and say, actually, Lord, thank you. It's daft to worry about these things because I've got so much. And it's the thankfulness whereby we can learn to relax together. And maybe we do need to speak gently with one another. Maybe we do need to speak gently to one another and just say, why are you worrying about that? Just remember what God has given you already. Remember the years of health you've already had. You might be sick now, but thankfulness maybe won't change the fact that you're unwell, but it'll change your heart. So worry, do you know what worry does? Many of you know. It just eats you up. Doesn't it? Just eats you up. Don't be anxious. But learn how to relax together. So we rejoice, we relate, we relax all together. And then this results in a deeper life. And this is in our passage in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Right at the end, in Christ Jesus, established in Jesus, people who together can say the most important relationship we have together is that with Jesus. And so we establish ourselves together in Jesus. We are protected by peace. The peace of God will guard your hearts. And this, it's as if we can imagine ourselves together. It's as if God comes and builds a fortress all the way around us. That's what it means. And it's called the peace of God. He guards us all around so that here we're not thinking, are we going to get attacked? Do we have to worry about things? No, because there is this protective shield all the way around us. And that's why we can have peace, because we think, oh, I'm protected. Peace says we need not be anxious. God is good. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Do you want to sit down, sweetheart, just to the end? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There will be this building of peace around about you to protect you and keep you safe. And this is all about living together. This is all about life together. So learning how to live together is a key factor in learning how to live deep with God. The four things. Learning how to rejoice together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Remember what God has done. And rejoice in those things. Relating together. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be patient with one another. Bear with one another. Understand what the important things are. Relaxing together. Very, very simple. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Have a thankful heart. And I really do believe if you are thankful, if we are thankful, it changes something profoundly in our hearts and lives. And then resulting in a deep life together. The peace of God, it won't just surround me, but it'll surround all of us and keep all of us safe together. What we're going to do is we're just going to pause right now and we're going to pray and pray that somehow what I've just shared might begin to take root in our lives. I recognize, as I've been speaking, you've probably already been thinking in all sorts of different directions. All the thoughts that have been sparked off. Well, we're just going to pause and we're going to pray that God would help us to root this in our lives. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we simply ask for your help. First of all, I suppose in our sight, in our perspective, the way we see things, to understand that we are called to follow Jesus, not simply as individuals, but very much together. And as we understand that, Father, help us to learn how better to live together. Help us to learn what it means to rejoice together, to be gentle and forbearing with one another. Just to relax together, not allowing worry to take over and anxiety, but knowing God provides all we need. And Father, may your peace, the peace that passes all our understanding and all our working out, may your peace guard us, our hearts and our minds, as we root ourselves in Jesus, your Son. So Father, help us to root this in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.